Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
We're going to learn how to beat things up today, how to win a fight. That's important because whether you know it or not, you're in a fight. There's an enemy called the evil one that really does want to harm everybody in this room. He wants to take from you, kill, steal, destroy. And like in the natural sense, I believe in the spiritual sense, a lot of people have never really learned how to fight. In the natural, we can see it. In the spiritual, it's harder to identify. But if you don't know how to fight, you're going to get whooped. How many would say amen to that? Man, when I was a young kid, my dad, rough guy. I know if you know my story, those of you that are new, my dad was an alcoholic and in and out of prison. Not a good guy, very not religious whatsoever. I can remember in this house, we lived in a shotgun house in Madison, that I showed up one day and there were like six people behind me, guys in the neighborhood that want to beat me up because we lived in a very rough neighborhood. They were all outside cussing and yelling, telling me to come out, and they were going to beat me. I was like elementary school age young. I'll never forget what my dad did. Boy, come here. What's going on? I'm crying. They want to beat me up. My dad told me right away. He says, you're going to deal with this. And he put a bat in my hand. Now, this is my ex-con prisoner father put a bat in my hand. And he told me, you're going out there and you're going to deal with this or I'll deal with you. I remember like, okay, Dad. Man, I wiped my tears off and I went and beat some people. I was terrified of my father. And so early on, I learned, like, there was no such thing as a fair fight, and you had to go confront evil or fight or whatever. And I'm not advocating that. If you're young here today, don't hit people with bats. You'll go to jail. But I am saying that many times we just don't know how to fight. We don't know the elements of a fight. And a lot of these principles, they cross over. You know, what we see in the physical sometimes just mirrors the spiritual. Unfortunately, a lot of us have no idea what to do in a fight. And Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God. And we're going to take some weeks and we're going to go through the armor of God. Now, if you're a believer, if you've been around church for a while, you've gone through these or you've read this. But my goal is a little different in that I want us to slow up and take an armor piece at a time and really put some application behind it, like the helmet of salvation. What does your salvation mean? What is salvation? What does it mean? How do I put that on? How do I recognize that in my life every day? And then how does that help me fight this war that I'm in, where I have a real enemy that desires to wipe me out? How does the helmet of salvation play out in my life? So we're going to take time and drill down on all of those. And I want to encourage you, be a part of things. You need to know these things. Today we're going to talk about verses 10 through 12 in Ephesians 6. And whether you know it or not, you're in this battle. That's one of the first rules to being in a fight is knowing you're in one. And we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal about a little bit about the nature of the enemy today and about what we need to be good at. So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. Says, finally, let me stop there just real quick. That's a good word. Finally. When we read the epistles, these are letters written by Paul mostly. Peter wrote some letters. John wrote some letters. When we write these letters to the churches, it's important at some point to read the whole letter. Because when he says, finally, be strong in the Lord, everything he wrote, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, half of 6, he's saying finally to. Stuff like our salvation, stuff like he prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we can know the hope to which we're called. Stuff like he wants us to know how wide, how tall, how deep the love of God is for us. All these really good truths are in this book. It's like this. And I want to encourage you this week, read the whole book of Ephesians, one setting. Some of you guys, what? Yes, one setting, or at least listen to it on your drive to work. Let me explain it this way. In the mid-80s, I went to basic training. Back in those days, listen to this, kids, this is amazing. Back in those days, there were no cell phones or texting. In fact, they did this thing where they got a paper out and they took ink and they wrote letters. I'm not kidding, it happened. And they put stamps on it and it would come to you and you'd read these letters. How many ever received a letter? Well, I had this really hot girlfriend that became my wife, but she would write me big letters because she is really good at letters and ink. So she wrote me these letters, and they would be like 4, 5, 6, 12 pages long. When I would get this letter in basic training, how many think I read like a paragraph and would just ponder on it? Those are two good verses that Cindy wrote. I'm just going to stop there because I don't want to overwhelm my mentality. I don't want to have a brain cramp. Let's just stop at two verses. Wow, that's deep, Cindy. No way! I tore that thing apart. I read it right through front to back, and then I might read a page and think about it, but immediately I would read that thing, man, and just... And that's how we read an epistle. That's how the original receivers of Paul's letter read it. They read that letter. They read that thing. So I want to encourage you, read Ephesians this week, because if you don't, you're going to be shortchanged when we talk about the armor of God. You're not really going to catch it all. It's like reading half a love letter. Kind of lame. So, read the whole thing. So it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Just want to take some phrases and work through this passage of Scripture. I want to start with, for our struggle. This is an imperative, like in the original language. It's something that you can't opt out of. He's saying every one of us are engaged. This is our big battle for every one of us. There's no getting around it. Our struggle. I find the first thing to win a fight is to recognize Paul's words here that you're in a fight. The quickest way to lose a fight is to never realize you were in one. Man, if you ignore problems, they get bigger. They don't get easier. If you ignore problems, if you ignore the enemy, if you ignore the struggle, you become a really easy victim. Easy to beat. You almost get sucker punched. You get hit without looking. For our struggle. Paul's telling them, you're engaged in this. You can think you're opting out. You can think that, nah, that's okay. I'll leave that for people that believe all that stuff. But regardless, the struggle's coming to you. It's your struggle. You have to be aware. Why? Why is this important? Because other scripture teaches us what the struggle desires to do. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. So, this struggle isn't like, hey, I'm going to mess up your hair. The struggle is like, I want to take everything from you and humiliate you in the process. I want to absolutely decimate you. Why does Satan hate us so badly? Because God loves you so much. You're made in God's image and he loves you and he's paid a big price for you. And nothing would give the enemy more joy than to harm an object that God loves, that reflects who he is. So our struggle is real. It's a reality that he wants to hurt and harm you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I were to jump off the stage and walk up and just take something from you, most would object. Like, no. You'd fight for something of value. You struggle for things that are valuable. You have to recognize that you're in a struggle and that your struggle's worthwhile. You're protecting something that's of value. Your very life, your loved ones, your children, your culture. when I was a kid. How many of you have ever been dumpster diving in here? All right. Just want to make sure I'm in the right place this morning. Everybody didn't have their hands up. Let's look around. Rich people. Man, where I grew up, we wanted money. And nobody was giving you money. You didn't go to mom, or definitely not dad, and say, hey, can I have $5? No, that never happened once in my whole life. Can I have money? So being an honest dude, when we were in junior high, we decided we were collecting aluminum cans all the time through elementary school and junior high and whatnot. And I had a friend, me and a friend realized that the real money in aluminum wasn't collecting cans that we found laying on the side of the road. It was hitting the projects and getting in their dumpsters. That's where the real aluminum was after a weekend. Somehow everybody there could afford beer. And they got rid of the steel cans at this point. They were all aluminum, so it was gold mined. And we worked. One would take watch because it's a sketchy neighborhood. The other would dive. You'd tear bags open. This is disgusting, isn't it? How many beat your kid for doing this? I wouldn't mind. You're like, you're grounded, man, and you're going to get a shot or something. But anyway, we'd jump in, and we would throw cans out, and the other guy taking watch would crush the cans, throw them in the bag, and we'd take turns. That's what we did. Totally disgusting. When I think back at it, I'm disgusted myself. But we collected, like we were each, that day, we each had two big black bags, and we were walking out of that neighborhood and across this field into the area where we lived. And these guys came up on us, and they got in front of us, and they said, what are you doing? Nothing. They said, give us your cans. We're getting mugged. Now, listen, a typical situation, I mean, you got to think about it. It's a can, okay, a lot of cans, but at the time, they were going like 22 cents a pound, and we didn't have a whole lot of pounds when, you know, what are they? For 11 bucks between two of us, so $5.50 a piece. But those cans represented something. I dug through some real nastiness to get those cans. I suffered getting these cans. I nearly threw up multiple times getting these cans. And if these two fools thought they were taking my cans, they had another story. I remember looking at them, and they were older. I looked at them like, nah. I'm like, I'm not giving you my cans. Gives your kids a real blah, 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 blah. Now, keep in mind, I was worried about fighting with dad and big uncles and other drug-addicted folks in my life. These dudes were cake, man. I'm looking at them like, I'll fight you all day, but you're not getting my cans. So, long story short, we left that neighborhood with our cans. Why? Why did I leave with my cans that day? Because they were my cans. And I'm always amazed how quickly we surrender. We don't struggle. We surrender so quickly. Do you know in your life you hold more than nasty aluminum cans or 22 cents a pound that came out of a nasty dumpster? You're struggling for your children. You're struggling for the people that respect and know you. You're struggling for literally people's lives, those you care about. You're struggling for God's glory, that when people see you living in God's grace, you reflect something beautiful about Him. You're struggling for these things that are of such value. And sometimes we'll be willing to fight for nothing and lay down for everything. And can I just challenge you, when Scripture says, for our struggle, would you begin to include yourself in that? I believe Satan plays us lullaby, and he tries to lull us into a sleep to where we'll just say, hey, it's cool, I'm just living this life, and bad things happen to everybody or good things happen to everybody. But can I say there's an active plan to take from you? Scripture, again, says it like this. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So another phrase, it says, for we wrestle not, then it says, not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is important because sometimes you can fight the wrong fight and you're going to lose. Sometimes we think our struggle is against flesh and blood, and here are some of the aspects. Sometimes we think that it's that person in our lives that we need to defeat. Who's ever had an enemy? Okay, think way back. How many ever had a bully? Okay, and you think, that's my enemy. Or that's my competitor at work. We're fighting for the same slot or job. Sometimes we can say it's our flesh. Like, you know, I'm fighting against myself. Did you know self-hatred doesn't equal self-control? That sometimes we just attack self, this flesh, and we say, I'm going to beat myself up. Now, let me pause there real quick. We are focusing a ton on the evil one. We're going to talk a lot about the origin of evil, Satan, his demons, where they come from, their fallen angels. And we're not spending a lot of time focusing on other sources of evil. Did you know that the Bible says that man's heart is desperately wicked? Did you know probably that I'm not as worried about demons in this place this morning as some of you? That some of you are just as evil as any devil in hell. How many would agree with that? Like, you have the capacity to be as evil as anything God ever created. Wait, get your hand up. Sometimes we can be awful. That's a source of evil. Man can be evil. So I don't want to blame everything on the devil today. In fact, sometimes things we blame on the devil, I bet he blushes. Like, hey, well, I didn't do it. Promise it's him. We live in an evil society because it's full of evil people. It makes society evil. I don't want to ignore that, but at the same time, that's not our focus today. Today's our focus is more on the nature of a spiritual enemy and a spiritual evil. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not a fight against culture. It's not a fight against those who disagree with you. It's against things we don't see. It's against spiritual darkness, which brings us to another phrase in our text. He says, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. This is interesting. Did you know that more and more people, they keep doing surveys through the years, and as time goes on, less people believe there's an actual devil. There is one called Satan. There are angels that serve God. There are fallen angels that rebelled and were cast down. There is a spiritual reality. 2 Kings chapter 6. How many have ever heard this story? It's Elisha. I shared it like several months ago. Fascinating story. Elisha is being surrounded by the Syrians. They hate this guy because God keeps giving the secret plans to all the Assyrians' doings to Elisha, and he tells the king of Israel. So they're one step ahead of him all the time. So the king of Assyria sends his whole army to go capture one prophet and his servant. No match. Gehazi, his servant, in 2 Kings chapter 6, goes outside the tent one morning to work on breakfast, and he looks up and he sees the whole Assyrian army surrounding them. He's terrified. He yells back to Elijah, what are we going to do? And Elijah prays a simple prayer. He says, Lord, open the eyes of your servant so he can see. And the Bible says his eyes were opened and he looked and the hills surrounding them were filled with the chariots and the horsemen of God. He saw all the angelic hosts that surrounded them. And Elijah's statement was, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I tell that story because there's a reality in the spiritual world that is unseen to us. I honestly wish it was seen. It would be so much easier to have faith, would it not? I mean, if you're struggling with something and there's a demonic spirit that would mess with you or your family, and you walked into your living room and there it was, how many think you'd get really serious in your relationship with God? Like, hey, we're going to turn off TV tonight, kids, and we're just going to pray. Yeah, man, you'd be calling prayer meetings. You'd be doing everything, man. You would, and sometimes I think that's one reason we don't see into that realm. is it would change our ability to put faith in the Word. It changed our ability to put faith in the things that we know we should believe. But I do wish it were true. But there's a spiritual reality, and 2 Kings shows us this. Another story that's amazing. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel goes into a prayer meeting. Write Daniel chapter 10 down and read this for yourself. It's a quick read. Daniel chapter 10, he goes into a prayer meeting, and he's asking God for something. 21 days, this guy is fasting and praying. And he is scared to death by an appearance of an angel. Just terrifies him. He falls down. He can't speak. He's shaking. And this angel says something interesting. He says, the day you begin to pray, the day you made your request, God sent me. I'm at his throne. God sent me to give you the answer. But I was held up by the prince of Persia. Now, the prince of Persia wasn't an earthly king. The prince of Persia was a demonic force, a fallen angel that somehow had encountered this angel, and there was a battle. I don't understand it. It's kind of silent. There's not a lot of detail given. But this angel says, then Michael, how many know the angel Michael? Michael the archangel that showed up and gave Mary good news and gives all the big announcements. But then Michael showed up and he helped me. I'm like, wow, this is intense. So they break through and he comes and gives this answer. And then if you read further on, he says, now I've got to go back and battle the prince of Persia. And the prince of Greece will be coming. You're like, whoa, what is going on up there? I'll be honest, I don't know. It sounds kind of wild though. The point is, there's a lot more than meets the eye. There are things, there are battles being waged for you that we don't see. Jesus, the devil has authority. The devil has power in this world. When Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4, it says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you. This is what Satan tells Jesus. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Now, Satan obviously offered Jesus something he could actually deliver. Did you know, I believe Satan being the prince of this world can actually bless people. There are people that have received things where, because he's got authority in this realm, in this world. If he couldn't have offered it to Jesus, he wouldn't have. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So, he's referred to as the God of this age. Jesus referred to him as the prince of this world. He's got power to give, to blind, to deceive, to bring destruction. So this enemy's real. But I don't want to focus on that too much. I say all that to say there is a reality, and how we fight in the spiritual realm is way different than how we fight in the physical. Way different. And in fact, if you don't understand this, you'll get your lunch handed to you. How many grew up in the days when all the karate stuff you knew was Karate Kid? Like today, it's all MMA, and they have cauliflower ears and black eyes and scarred faces. And if a kid says today, like, I do MMA, don't mess with them. They'll probably break your arm three ways and just beat the life out of you. They just know how to fight really well these days. But in the 80s, how many remember someone ever saying these words? Hey, man, don't mess with me. I know karate. Those were the last words they said before they got pummeled. Because, like, they never knew it. Oh, they watched, you know, the Karate Kid. And they were about to get beat by some brawler. Some future MMA coach. It always went down that way. Because what they were fighting the wrong battle. And a lot of times, as Christians, we fight the wrong battle and we lose ridiculously. We fight the flesh. We fight people. We don't recognize that there are spiritual realities at play for me and against me. And I have to deal with it in a proper way. So, there's this, the first verse, Ephesians 6:10, says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's the key to this whole thing. That is the absolute key to everything we're going to work on for the next several weeks. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Without that, we're in absolute trouble. I shared something with a friend this week, and I shared it in the first service. I'll share it in this service. I shared it with this church once in 14 years. And I hesitate to do that because I don't dig on sensationalizing evil. I don't think that's the goal. Our goal is to run to Jesus. But too many times we don't recognize that there is an enemy. Remember that shotgun house I told you about that my dad sent me out the front door to beat kids with? That was in a rough neighborhood. It was in Madison and Venice, right near East St. Louis, Illinois. And while we lived there, the whole time with my father, he had come in drunk and just wreak havoc. And it, you know, some of you know what that's like if you grew up that way. One night in particular, my dad came home and drunk and flopped on the bed. It was a shotgun house. So if you know what a shotgun house is, it went living room, bedroom, kitchen. You just went doop, doop, doop. Real imaginative. And you went door, 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 straight through. And my dad came home that night and he flopped on his bed, drunk. And I remember him, he started laughing. Started this really shrill, evil-sounding laugh. Now, my dad was not a religious guy, so he wasn't playing some spooky church game. And this is actually before even The Exorcist came out, so he wasn't acting out a scene from that. But he started this really, really just terrible laugh. And he began to just flop around on the bed. And I can remember, he's a big guy, he's a big dude. Rough, tough dude, and he's flopped around the bed, giving his laugh. And I was scared, man. I was 7, 8 years old, but I remember it well. And I was like, wow, this is not cool, not cool, not cool. And my dad hopped off that bed, and his motions were even different, and his facial expression was different, And again, I wasn't coached in this. I'm just looking at this like, wow, this is bad. Now, Mom was a Christian. Mom had us in church from day one. She loved Jesus. And so I had this big juxtaposition. And at this point, my brother, me, my mom, I mean, it had the attention of the household. Trust me, we were like, whoa, what is going on here? My dad grabbed my mom and pushed her up against the wall. And in a voice that honestly was not his own, said that he was going to kill Cindy. He says, Cindy, I'm going to kill you. I felt so powerless, and I was. I sat there. I didn't know what to do, and I was scared. And my mom did something so cool. My mom says, you may kill me, but you can't touch my soul. In Jesus' name, let go. And my dad fell like he was shot in the head. Poof. Just literally laid out on the floor. Wham! And didn't move all night. Now, yeah, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, go Mom. Go Jesus. Go everything. I stood there that night, and I remember some big lessons hit me as a young kid that night. One thing I remember is, like, Dad was super scary, okay? That was checked in my mind. I'm like, Dad's scary. Two was that evil's real. I remember that night, I'm like, man, there's something there was something beyond the something. Before it was just Dad terrorizing things. Now there was something behind Dad. There was something else at work there that night. Evil's real. It's like I got the chance just to peek behind a door, and evil's real. And it didn't stop then. It's real today. And oftentimes it's not dramatic because he doesn't want to give his card away. Do you think I was praying that night? Yeah. Because the last thing it demonstrated to me was Jesus is powerful. Three simple lessons a mind of a 7-year-old could understand so well. Dad's scary, evil's real, but Jesus is greater. And I remember, like, being so impressed with Jesus that night. I'm like, man, mom just talked about Jesus. She whooped dad's butt. It's like he got hit with the ball bat. I was like, wow. And there was no like, hallelujah. You know, it was real, man. You're like, wow, that's cool. I'll be honest, I was still scared all night long. Like, is he going to get back up? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I learned that night, if I could just get behind Jesus, I'm okay. If I can just be near him, if I can be strong in Jesus, if I can call on his name. It wasn't about anyone's strength or anyone's ability. It was Jesus. It was his grace, his glory, his goodness, his love for his kid called Cindy, my mom, his love for me, even his love for my dad that would stop him that night. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in knowing everything about evil. Be innocent of evil. Be naive about evil. I'd rather you not know two things about evil, but really know about what it is to be strong in Jesus. Because if you're strong in him, all this other stuff doesn't really matter. Because when you bump into it, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, the one that loved me, the one that saved me, the one that I love back, the one that has my life, stop. And I'm good to go. And I want to encourage you today, be strong in the Lord. How are we strong in the Lord? It starts with just a recognition that he loves you. Jesus is God's perfect demonstration of the Father's love to you. That when he died on the cross, he didn't just do it to demonstrate his love to you. He didn't just do it to pay for your sins and cause you to be forgiven and free and clean. He did it so that you could be strong in him, so that he could develop his character, his life in you. So that the Bible says in Colossians that when he died on the cross, he made a public spectacle of the enemy. Just defeated the enemy for you. So that when we struggle against this principality, these rulers of darkness, that we have one that's gone before us, the one that loves us, the one that paid the price, the one that we become strong in. And we're strong because of faith. You know, as a seven-year-old, I want to tell you, I didn't have any verses memorized at that point. I didn't pray even, I don't think. Gosh, I was seven. I certainly hadn't witnessed anybody. I didn't give any money to anybody. So it wasn't based on anything but the fact that I saw my mom love Jesus, and I began to connect the dots in my life. And it wasn't too long after that, I'm like, I love Jesus too. But I did. I mean, he showed himself in such a real way in my life. And can I encourage you, be strong in the Lord because he loves you. Be strong in the Lord because he's paid the price. Be strong in the Lord because there's no other victory outside of him. Be strong in the Lord because if you're not, you're going to lose a fight. Be strong in the Lord because he's got a plan and a purpose for you. Be strong in him. And there's victory. Let's pray. Father, it's a joy to be here with your kids, these that you love. And I pray, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them that some are in the struggle right now. I pray, reveal your great love and care to them. I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that if we're in you, we're more than conquerors. Lord, that you are literally all we need. Lord, let us run to you. Let us run behind you. Be our protector. Be our victory, be our joy, be our forgiveness, Lord. Lord, we just love you. We thank you, God. Help us to run to you with honest hearts, knowing that you'll meet us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that there are probably some of you that are in the struggle and you know it. How many say you know when you're in the struggle? Probably some of you in the struggle and you know it presently. And can I say that God's for you, not against you, and this church is for you, not against you. And we just want to be able to pray for you and stand in faith with you that God's going to bring you through. And he's got better things for you. So when we're done here today, if you're in that struggle, you don't have to, but if you want to, we believe prayer changes things. And we'd love to just offer that to you if you want prayer. I want to mention, too, my good friend Tom is doing the tactics class. And tactics just sounds so right after talking about how to fight. And it brings up great questions to the people you love to talk about faith. And this is something I would love if everybody did. It's going to be at 9 o'clock starting next Sunday in the cafeteria. I want to encourage you, come be a part of that. It's good training. Come do an hour of tactics and come in here and learn how to put on armor. What could it hurt, right? What else are you going to do? So I'd love for you to be a part of that. Will you stand with me? I want to pray one more word of blessing before we get out of here. Now, outside is Kona Ice, so if you want to grab Kona Ice and hang out with us so we can chat a little bit and get pre-diabetic. That would be great. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness in our lives, and I pray you bless your people. Help us know that you are our strength in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.